Oh my God.
You can't sip with us.
But you can sip with us.
Welcome to Sip With Me.
In honor of having a real blue man on the show today, we are featuring the Blue Guy cocktail, which of course is really, really blue. And this drink originally comes from a college bar at the University of Illinois, so Illinois of us. There is 6 ounces of your favorite blue energy drink and then 2 ounces of vodka, and that's literally it. But what a more perfect cocktail for an amped up energetic experience like seeing Blue Man Group than a cocktail that has caffeine in it. So grab your Blue Guy cocktail and let's meet a blue guy ourselves.
Welcome back. We're so excited to feature a very unique musical art-based show you've probably seen when visiting Chicago, the Blue Man Group, which has been around since 1987 and is described as an instrumental musical and performance art-based show featuring 3 blue men and a band. It's truly such a unique experience that really transports you to what feels like a blue art-filled world. They have become a worldwide pop culture phenomenon and even made appearances on national TV shows and events. And we are beyond excited to have a blue man, which I can't believe, on our show today, Callum Grant. Callum, welcome to Sip With Me.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
It is an honor to have an actual blue man. And Ioana, you killed that intro because it's just such a unique thing and concept to describe and label and talk about. So
you did that way better than I
could. Thank you. It's hard to describe. I think you really have to go and experience it to really understand.
For sure. Yeah. Okay. So just let's start off. I know we were chit-chatting before the interview. You know, you have quite a background and you're very talented. And again, we saw you on stage as a blue man and you slayed, first off. But second, just give everybody just a little brief bio about who you are, where you come from, how you got into the arts, and ultimately how you ended up becoming a blue man.
Okay. My name is Callum Grant. I am from the northeast of Scotland. A place called Elgin, not to be confused with Elgin, as I've discovered coming to
Illinois,
a place that shares the same spelling. Elgin in the northeast of Scotland. And I first started performing when I was 4 or 5. I didn't really know that it was performing at the time. It was just clowning around and being a general mischief. And as I grew up into my teenage years, I clowned around with friends and I performed in punk bands. And then I ended up studying theater at the Royal Scottish Academy, kind of through accident, really. I mean, I didn't expect to get it. And there suddenly I was in this incredible institution. And towards the end of my studies, a friend of mine saw Blue Man Group in New York. I was in Glasgow. He returned and he said, I've seen the perfect gig for you. It's in New York. And that's no help to me. I'm a broke student. And 2 weeks later, I was having coffee with that same friend, Fraser. Shout out to Fraser Gilmore. And we was reading the newspaper. That's what we used to do 20 years ago. And he said, you'll never guess, the Blue Man Group are auditioning here in Glasgow next week.
Wow.
Oh my God. Sounds like from a movie.
Yeah.
It was pure sync. It was some sort of strange universe synchronicity happening. And I went along. I had no idea what it was. I'd never seen it. I'd never really heard of it. The only thing that I had seen were those Intel Inside commercials that were, it was.
Yes. Yes.
I do remember that. Yeah.
Whoa.
And flashback. I didn't know that they were a theater group. I just saw these like weird, cool Silver Surfer looking guys that were blue. And that was the only reference I had. So I went along and I just did what they asked me to do in the audition, which, not to give too much away, but essentially it started off by saying, hey, tell us a story. And I told a really boring story about...
Oh my God, I would literally throw up on the spot.
I think I would walk out.
But thankfully, as soon as I got to the end of the story, they said, okay, tell us again, but don't talk.
Oh, interesting.
Now tell us it again, but don't talk and don't move. So it was just all with the eyes.
Oh my gosh.
And then we did a little bit of music, a little bit of drumming. At the time, I had a sprained wrist, so I couldn't drum super well, but it was enough for them to know that I had some musicality. And then I graduated from college or university on the Tuesday, and on the Sunday I flew to New York to start training as a blue man, which was just an absolute dream. Like, it still doesn't feel real now.
That's so cool.
The best part of 18 years ago.
Did you start off performing as a blue man in New York?
Yeah, I did a few months in New York, about 4 or 5 months, and then we flew then I moved to London, and I opened the London show. We did London for almost 2 years, and then opened a show in Amsterdam and did the show in Berlin, and then the next big one was Tokyo, and I moved and lived in Tokyo.
Oh my God.
For 4 years.
Well, you're a true global pop star.
This job has taken me around the world.
That's so cool.
Something that I could never have imagined would ever happen. It's been incredible.
And then how long have you been in Chicago?
And then in Chicago now, about 7 years, give or take. So yeah, I did, after Tokyo, we did some time in Australia. We played Carnival at the Rio.
Oh my God. That is so cool.
That's just bananas.
And then did a stint on a cruise ship for a second, which was also something I'd never imagined do. And then eventually came back to the States and did Boston for some time. And then I'd always wanted to come to Chicago because of its reputation for culture, for comedy, for music, for theater.
Yeah.
And it's just such a kind of wonderful training ground and melding pot for talent and arts and creative. And I was playing and recording music with one of the other blue men, actually, and we recorded an album in Tokyo, and so that was one of the reasons I wanted to get to Chicago, was to record another album with him while we were here, which we did, and then see what else Chicago kind of could offer and what I could do whilst I'm here, which it has been an incredible time and place to study. And I've performed and worked in places like Second City and IO and Annoyance and so many other incredible places to learn about improv and comedy and sketch and physical comedy and performance art and Blue Man Group, which is a strange blend of all of those, I suppose.
Yeah.
No, but that is the quintessential Chicago story. That's how it happens, and that's why it is such a cool city, because everything, it does blend and they all play off each other, and you learn different things from each experience, and you can fall down and there's people to pick you back up. And that's what, even like, I don't know that we could podcast in any other city. Mm-hmm. Like, Chicago is, it's so supportive, and the art scene, you know, everybody respects it and, you know, helps each other. And I feel like it's a friendly place too. So lots of respect for that. I know a lot of people have seen Blue Man Group. And maybe if you even have not been to one of the shows, you've seen a commercial, or you've been maybe like at a Bulls game and you've suddenly, there's Blue Man on the court, like doing some type of promo. So I feel like a lot of people know what Blue Man Group is, but just like generally, and I'm so curious to hear like how you describe it. How would you describe Blue Man Group to somebody that has never seen it before and maybe, you know, has seen a commercial and that's like all they know about it?
It is, I'm going to try and not go into the kind of like spiel but it truly is an electrifying live experience. Like, you could try and put it in a pigeonhole. There's theater, there's rock concerts, there's comedy, there's audience interaction. The best way to describe it is a live experience that you experience with other people, and it's a journey that you go through that's unique every single time because of who you're sitting with. The audience are the fourth Blue Man. And so every performance is different because it depends on who's going to see it. And so, yeah, it is a hilarious, fun, inspiring live experience. Mm-hmm. That's actually something that I keep coming back around to, of how, and I sometimes take for granted, is how strangely inspiring the show can be. How at all ages people can come and they walk away and they go, you made me think about something in a different way. You made me see the potential for art or music in corners of life that I'd never imagined.
Well, and I feel like I felt that. And I know, Ioana, like we both had been, 15, 20 years ago when we were infants practically. but the thing that really surprised me the most, and I think it surprised me because I'm missing it so often from my life, is I felt so alive in that theater watching, you're not even watching the show, you're experiencing the show, and you're also experiencing the audience around you, and you all, there is like a synergistic two-way relationship with the Blue Man, the band, and the audience. And it just made me feel, it made me feel so present. It made me feel human. Mm-hmm. And that maybe that sounds weird to some people, but it really, it invoked a spark in me that I don't often experience daily anymore. And maybe it's because I felt like a kid again at parts, or at other times I was so surprised at what was happening and there was so much happening so quickly. And it's, somebody is like eating 100 marshmallows on stage and you're watching it and you're like, what's going on? But then there's also music and lights and audience and laughter. So maybe that's what it is. But it was really... I guess inspiring is a good word for it, because it just really...
It's interesting you said it made you feel like a kid again, because I that really resonates with me, and it really resonates with me as the performer as well as when I watch the show. Like, it inspires this innocence and way of looking at the world that I think we can sometimes lose a little bit in our growing up and being taught or learning the order of things and how everything has its own place and how that doesn't do that and this only does this. And suddenly, you're reminded as a kid that everything has a potential to it.
Yes.
Yeah. You can... Oh, look, there's a big white wall. I can draw on that. It's a canvas. Oh, you're not supposed to draw on the wall. Yeah. Oh, oops. And how life sometimes can lean on us a little bit. And going to this experience and going to this show is, it reminds us to look outside the box a little bit and to...
Yeah.
To make a mess sometimes, and that's okay.
That's good life advice. I think it's really freeing, like kind of what you talked about, the boundaries that are set as an adult, and just being able to have this freeing experience as a community. I think that was the other thing that I felt really connected to. Like, you can go to a ballet and you can go to events, but I really felt like we were a mini community in that space, going through a similar experience together. And I don't think you always get to do that, especially through art, which I think is really great. Mm-hmm. And it's like we were reliving our traumas of life through art.
I think we're so also at this point, we would have never realized how quickly we would become kind of dependent on our phones and on screens and on look, like how quickly I always find it strange getting on the train or any sort of commuting or any or public spaces where people are kind of buried in their phones at this point.
Yeah.
It's almost a cliche to point that out now. I'm just as guilty of it. And it's something that we're all sort of managing. And to be able to just put that away and have this live energy and experience happen. And it's interesting watching people within the audience sometimes fight the urge to try and document it. Oh, something's happening. I have to remember it.
Yes, so the way that 100%. I do
that is with my phone. And then you see them go, oh, wait, I'm not. No, let's just be here and let's just experience this. And that's okay.
Yeah, so we were talking about that because we went and then it was like, oh, no, like no photography, no video at all. And then we were like, well, how are we going to get content for Instagram? And then we were like, oh, wait, maybe we're not supposed to.
Yeah.
So we just took a selfie outside of the theater. And that was enough. And I'm glad that I didn't have my phone and that I didn't have the urge to take it out. Because we got to fully experience the show. And when Ioana was getting blasted in the face with toilet paper and a leaf blower, it was one of my core memories that I will always remember.
I will never forget that. We don't need a phone for that.
That's direct, the most direct eye contact with the blue man. It maybe was you, but it was such a good memory for our friendship.
Yeah.
Oh, who'd have thought leaf blowers would have become such a fun tool?
Yeah.
No, I was like, I'll do yard work for my mom if I get to play with the leaf blower.
Leaf blowers also, for some reason, I think of them being as very American. In Scotland, we didn't grow up with leaf blowers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so American.
Yeah, I was going to say, in Greece, we don't have leaf blowers.
We just make it.
Yeah.
So yeah, as soon as I saw these things, I was like, oh, they'll be fun. I in fact, the first time I think we used one was actually at Carnival, and we weren't using it to blow paper. We were using it to fill these like the biggest balloons you've ever seen.
Oh my gosh.
The balloons were filled with confetti.
I knew they were going to be filled with something.
And they would inflate to, you know, bigger than a car, and then
I would die.
Explode.
I have a phobia of balloons. So oh, yeah. Like worse here.
It wasn't outside. It was
okay.
It was,
okay. I think I could handle it. Yeah.
That's not quite as intense.
It's not as bad.
We have not yet talked about something I'm really curious about. We mentioned that the show, we aged ourselves. The show has been around for a long time. I'm really curious to know, and we talked before the interview about kind of the staying power of Blue Man. And now we're talking about what the show actually contributes to society and people's lives. How was the show like founded, and was that part of the intention when it was founded, you know, decades ago?
So when I trained, and when we, which was back in 2005, I'm showing my age now. part of the, I don't know if this is still the case because the training and the show has evolved so much over the years. Mm-hmm. But at that time, there was actually a part of the training where it was like history class, and they talked us through exactly this. But also that in itself has sort of evolved over the years. Just conversationally, so yeah. I will give you the closest to the truth that I'm aware of at this point. But the show was always meant as a commentary on the world and how the best way to hold up a mirror or to talk about the human race as a culture is to sort of become other, is to look like a human, but to step a little bit outside of it and look a bit alien. And then you can, then when you perform some of these cultural norms as someone else, but you don't know how to do that, it becomes obvious, oh, how kind of strange it is that we all take this thing for granted. My understanding was that it was the three original Blue Men, which Chris Wink, Matt Goldman, and Phil Stanton, they were performers and actors and artists in New York. And as a sort of response to some of the stranger choices that happened in the 80s, particularly in performance art movement and also in culture and also in society in general, they'd started to develop this blue character. Legend has it, and this is purely that it first was a vision that Chris had in one of his dreams, and he dreamt of this. He had this image of this character.
That's amazing.
And which is kind of nice, because it sort of infers that this character is somewhat ageless, and that it sort of emanates through all of us, and that it sort of came to them in a dream. Mm-hmm. And they started performing in small variety shows, or in different pieces, and sometimes in street theater, sometimes performance art spaces, sometimes at fringe festivals. And then eventually they had enough material to put a whole show together, and they took a bit of a risk, and they rented out this small theater in New York, the Astor Place Theater, and to go for like a 6-month run, and it hasn't stopped.
Wow.
And it just kept growing from there. Okay. And eventually at some point, again, this is anecdotal, so this is stories that we tell, but it was these three guys were doing every single show, every single night for many years until one of them was injured. Phil, I think he injured his hand, and they didn't know what to do. So at that point they had a band that were playing with them. So they got one of the band guys who kind of knew the show, and they dressed him up as a blue man, and they stuck a speaker in his ear, and they sat in the audience and told him what to do.
Oh my God.
And they didn't think that that would work, and it kind of worked. And then supposedly Penn and Teller came to see the show, and they said, "You guys are geniuses. You can do what we can't. You can clone yourselves."
Ah.
And they were like, "Oh, that's a good idea." And they started to look for other blue men in addition to other people, and slowly started to sort of grow this group of blue men, as opposed to just being the three of them. And that has fluctuated over the years. And I believe now there's probably about 60 of us.
Wow.
In the world.
That's a lot.
But again, fluctuates. There's been a little bit more and there's been less. And
yeah.
And there's people have come and gone, and there are some retired blue men. Although there's a sort of a running joke that you're always a blue man. You know?
The Retired Blue Man Society. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I hope I answered your question there.
That was fascinating. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. And then I guess our last formal question to kind of bring it back full circle is, you know, we mentioned seeing the show a couple weeks ago. I know the show has obviously been through many iterations, many versions, generations, things like that. But any recent updates, additions, changes to the show? Like, what's maybe for someone that saw the show 10, maybe 20 years ago, how does the show maybe look a little bit different today?
We literally just put something new in yesterday.
Ooh, okay, so we got to go back.
Yeah, Ilana. I was gonna say.
Go back. There's a new feeling. There's a new finale or a new version.
Ooh.
Of
Ooh.
Which is very fun. The show, we're at a point now where there's pieces in it that we call like classic pieces that have been around, and that are the ones that are, for better or worse, are like the staple. This is what you get when you want to go and see the Blue Man Group. They do these incredible things, and you've heard them about them. And then there are also elements that we keep changing and keep adding and pulling out and rewriting and trying different versions of. And that will be a constant too. So from 10 years ago, I would say that it's maybe 50%, give or take. There's elements of the show that, like I say, that are the classics, the marshmallows that you mentioned, and it's called Drumbone that it is always so much fun that I just don't ever see it going anywhere. It's the one where the tube moves and we hit the...
That was crazy.
The drain pipe thing. And then there are other pieces that we'll always be writing and creating. And and we've all had different opportunities at different times to create or to add our own piece, to add pieces that we've tried to write ourselves or we've developed as a group. And I would say you have a chance of seeing something new every year.
Okay.
And whether it's a tiny little thing or a video piece or a character piece, there will be people. Yeah, there'll be folks who go and they go like, oh yeah, it looks similar, but there's a bunch of stuff that's different. And we also update with technology. For example, this past year, they put in you will have seen this. They put in all these new LED walls.
Mm-hmm.
That were really helped bring the technological aspect of the show up to a next level, and it's really fun to play with and get blinded by.
We have to go again.
Yeah, I was going to say we can set a reoccurring outlook.
Husbands this time. My husband is from Canada and he's never been. So I tried to explain it to him, and I've shown him clips, but he needs a full experience.
Yes, he would be like a little kid.
Yeah, he would.
It's amazing. When I go back to Scotland and people ask me what I do, there's still not really been a Blue Man group in Scotland. It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Awesome. Well, I don't want to get too blue and down, but our time is coming to an end. So we end every episode with a round of rapid fire. Most of these obviously are blue themed, but we have 6 rapid fire questions for you. And we just want your first gut instinct answer.
Awesome.
Okay, Ioana, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, take it away.
Favorite prop to use in the show?
Oh, leaf blower.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I'll remember that forever.
And the fact that we're considering a leaf blower a prop, the show has already accomplished its mission.
Yeah.
Because that is the most suburban norm meeting thing that you could have. So that's awesome. Okay, I don't know how this works, but how long does makeup / getting ready to become a blue man take?
Officially 30 minutes.
Wow, that's fast.
My record is 4.
4?
4 minutes.
Oh my gosh, wait, I need to learn.
He had to catch a CTA bus that was not actually ever coming and then ran to the theater.
Wow.
There was a bit of an emergency situation. There was one of the guys on stage was having a medical situation.
Oh my gosh.
Situation, and it was New Year's Eve and I came running in, and the wardrobe departments are incredible. And it was kind of like, sit down and have it happen to you. Done. Okay, go.
Wow.
Amazing.
I need to learn.
I know. I can't even get ready in 4 minutes. No, same.
Okay, I'm interested to know why blue out of all the colors. Well,
all the other colors were taken. It was partially the image that came to the founders, and that it was just this blue character. And there's been a lot of speculation as to why. My instinctual response, quick fire round, why not?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But slightly longer, elongated. The blue is a very tranquil, very beautiful, very inspiring color in nature. And we go and we when we want to feel at peace and we want to reflect, we go and look at the ocean, or we go and climb a mountain and look at the sky, and these things are blue. And I think there's a lot, there's something in there as well with where that color came from.
Yeah, I like that. What is your favorite shade of blue?
Quine blue, which is the blue that we stick on our heads.
How do you
there's an artist.
How do you spell that?
Eve Klein is an artist who very famously they famously spent a specific amount of time developing their own version of blue that they thought was the greatest shade that they could come up with, and that was one of the kind of artists that the Blue Men borrowed from and paid tribute to by going, that's the blue that we'll go with. And it was Klein blue. It's Klien.
Yeah, it's here. It's a real thing.
It's amazing. I know.
I gotta buy some art.
Same. Okay, I'm interested to know, because this was like one of my favorite parts of the show. How many marshmallows can you eat at one time, or put in your mouth at one time?
I think it's 40.
Oh wow. My God.
Wow. But just leave it at regular sized marshmallows.
It's definitely
well.
to be, do not try this at home.
Yeah, no.
We don't need any people choking as a fuzzy bunny. What are they called?
Oh,
bunny?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was like a trend to see how many marshmallows you got. Yeah. I tried that, but I didn't do well.
Of course you did.
Trained professionals only. Yep. Should
yes. Blue Men only.
Yes.
All right, the last question for you is, we are a cocktail hour themed podcast, so do you have a favorite cocktail or non-alcoholic beverage of choice?
My favorite cocktail right now has been a Negroni.
Ooh,
that's a good one.
I like a nice bitter gin Negroni. I would prefer Leatherby gin. If that shout out to Leatherby, they're the best. They're the best gin in the world. But yeah,
tag them. I love that. I know. Sweet. Awesome. Okay. Well. Tell everyone where they can find more information about Blue Man Group, get tickets, and then also where they can follow you and find out what you are working on and what you have going on.
Absolutely. You can find tickets at blueman.com for all shows nationwide. We have shows in Boston, New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, and Berlin. There will be more, there's potentially more shows coming in the future. Nothing is set in stone, so I can't mention anything just yet. And there's also a tour that's happening right now, and it's about to go through the United Kingdom, actually. If you go to blueman.com or at Blue Man Group for Instagram, or just on the old Google and type in Blue Man Group, you'll be able to. Yeah, and we're performing every week in Chicago.
Yeah, the time.
Yeah,
all the time. It fluctuates. The sometimes Monday, Tuesdays are dark, but if you go on the website, you'll see it. It's all the time. You can't miss it, and there'll be tickets. It'll be fine. If you want to follow me doing anything, I have actually a Broken Planet. Is a show that I'm currently working on that a year ago I started here in my living room. I performed a show. It's the Absurd Cabaret of Apocalyptic Proportions.
Oh my God.
Broken Planet is here to put the humility back into humanity. We're here to bring people together and stop dividing people and bring us together by giggling and laughing together again. And you can follow at Broken Planet Show on Instagram, or you can go to brokenplanetshow.com. And we're performing around Chicago area monthly right now. And the show is just, it grows every month or so. Every time we perform it, new people come, new artists, turn up out and go like, I understand what you're trying to do. I want to join and I want to, how about we have this weird character do something? One of our highlights is Mothman is one of our,
oh my gosh,
great characters that turns up. And one of the other highlights of the show is we have Nerf karaoke, where tonight I'll be performing a Nerf karaoke. I'll be singing Danny Boy whilst the audience are given Nerf guns. And
oh, that is amazing. God. We love karaoke. So
you will get to live out your fantasy of trying to silence the karaoke.
Wow.
So I will keep going, and I have safety goggles. And
okay, good, good.
So the precautions are taken. And we'll be taking that show actually to the Edinburgh Fringe this August, which is very exciting. And we're in the midst of production and trying to gear up to take a Fringe show back to Scotland, back to where I'm from, and see if we can save the world there by making people giggle again.
Oh my God, I love this.
We have to go.
Instagram feed is everything.
Are you on it?
This is amazing. We will definitely be coming to a future show for sure.
Oh, fantastic. Please do.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is definitely.
I was going to say, that sounds just like.
This is the vibe.
Well, I'll have to come back and do one specifically for that. And I'll bring some of the Broken Planet crew.
That would be awesome.
Yes. Awesome. Well, Callum, thank you so very much for taking some time out of your busy schedule and for appearing. I know you're not blue right now, that you probably will be. At some point in the next 24 hours, because you guys literally have so many shows. Like, I'm like, this is insane how many shows you guys have.
I was blue literally like 12 hours ago. I will be again in another 12 hours.
I love it. Well, thank you so very much for joining us, and good luck with your show tonight.
Thank you. And thank you both. It was great to meet you over the Zooms and not when I'm in the makeup and not able to talk. It's great to
making direct eye contact at Ioana with a leaf blower.
I'll never forget that. Thanks for listening to Sip With Me with Ioana and Aaron. If you like our show and want to know more, check out our website, sipwithme.org. There you can find our themed cocktail book, as well as other exciting Sip With Me content.
And if you love our podcast, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts and follow our podcasting adventures on Instagram @sipwithme_.